You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome back to FST on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're following us today, please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett, and Kevin is at the Kevin Walsh. If you want to call us, 844-843-6879. So thank you for listening to us, whether you found us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio. We're going to bring in somebody that knows all things Packer. This is Joe DeLuise. You can find him on Twitter at Joe underscore DeLuise, DALOISIO. Feel free to go to our Twitter feed as well to check that out. So, Joe, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. He's a former member of the DA show at CBS Sports Radio. He covers the Packers for Lombardi Ave. That's at Lombardi Ave for Fansided. So I was reading an article that you had published a little bit earlier this month about the addition of Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb was wearing this walking boot and everybody was very concerned about it. But it also speaks to how important he is seen in the offense now. Davante Adams got paid. He's really seen as the number one guy. But with Jordy Nelson having left, one would assume that some targets are going to be spread, obviously, between the new addition and Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb. I've always been a massive Randall Cobb fan. And to your point in the article, he's got the second most receptions out of the slot in the entire league in the last four seasons. I'm probably only bested by Julian Edelman. So how important is he really to this offense taking it to another level?
Yeah, Cobb's success this year and his ability to stay on the field is huge for the Green Bay Packers and for the 2018 seasons. I mean, not only for his production, but for what he provides off the field as a leader. Obviously, they lose Jordy Nelson. That's, you know, everybody knows Rodgers' favorite target. They need a new leader in terms of that wide receiving core. Like you mentioned, Davante Adams, clear number one. No questions about that. Cobb has to be that number two guy. He needs to be on the field. He needs to be a leader. Without them, the depth behind those two wide receivers is very thin. Now, Cobb's stats may not jump off the chart when you're looking at them. I mean, if you look at last season's stats, and of course last season was a little bit of a different year because Brett Hundley played a majority of the games at quarterback. But if you look at his stats last year and then the stats the previous year with Rodgers, they were relatively the same. And again, they didn't jump off the chart, but he was reliable and an option that, and someone that Aaron Rodgers could rely on. Other than Adams and Cobb right now, you have no depth looking at the rest of the wide receivers. They just drafted three rookies. They have Michael Clark, who is a young guy that got some time, not much at all. Trevor Davis, and then your number three right now is looking to be Geronimo Allison, who just has over double digit reception. So the wide receiver position is very thin, and Cobb needs to be on the field.
Yeah, Randall Cobb right now in PPR leagues going 39th off the board. I'll tell you, I love the value that you can get in Randall Cobb in your fantasy drafts, and Joe just kind of backed me up on it. He's really going to be a bigger part of the offense than people suspect. I think people get scared away from players that have been injured or have not produced, say, last year or even the year before because they thought he'd be a little bit better, but I think right now you're going to get a lot of value out of Randall Cobb. So go ahead, Kev.
Joe, I want to ask you then about Davante Adams, because you mentioned Jordy leaving, and that was his favorite guy. Is there any concern that there could be anything other than Davante being his guy? I think back to last season, you mentioned it was Brett Hundley's year, but when Rodgers was healthy, that Week 5 game against Dallas, where he threw the back shoulder fade to Davante Adams, missed it, and went right back to it, and they looked to be in sync. And obviously with Rodgers as the quarterback, you feel great about anybody, but do you think that this could mean Davante Adams, we look at him as a top 10, maybe even a top 5 wide receiver for what could be coming for him this season?
No, I think Davante Adams' numbers are only going to go higher. Yeah. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. He's easily going to replace Jordy in terms of Rodgers' number one guy. The difference, though, now is with the addition of Jimmy Graham, it will open up everything else for the rest of the surrounding crew. So for Randall Cobb out of the slot, perhaps Ty Montgomery out of the backfield, or if they decide to move him to wide receiver. I think Davante Adams has truly proven to be the next big thing for Green Bay in terms of that position and the league overall. And the connection that those two have, Rodgers doesn't have with any other wide receiver on the roster.
Davante Adams' name has crept up with the elite receivers in the league. I think you put him right in that second tier. It's Brown and Julio and Beckham, and probably DeAndre Hopkins is in there now, but then he's right there with Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, Davante Adams, Adam Thielen. Like, those guys are the next group, and I think people need to understand that a healthy Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are going to be a wicked combination. So
yeah,
go ahead.
And just to piggyback off of that point, I think the reason why it may not seem or he's recognized in the, you know, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr. category is he's just not as flashy as them. You know, he keeps to himself. He sticks to his business on the football field. And, you know, the yards after the catch, the size, the speed, the quick feet, he is a difference maker and will put up numbers this season.
I almost feel like he and Michael Thomas from the Saints are kind of attached at the hip, like their careers are on a similar trajectory, and we'll see how both of them produce. So, again, we're with Joe DeLuise. He's a fan-sided staff writer at Lombardi Ave, so go there for all things Packers. You get some good insight on Randall Cobb and Rodgers and the rest. So, big issue for fantasy owners this year is trying to sort out the Packers' three-headed monster at running back. Obviously, Jones is suspended for a couple of games, but Ty Montgomery didn't go anywhere, and people don't really seem to want to get anywhere near him. So give me a sense of what their roles are going to be.
See, that's where I kind of disagree with people in terms of Ty Montgomery's role. I think he has an opportunity here to be the most effective and have the biggest role out of all of the running backs. And the reason why I say that is because of his natural position, wide receiver. I think he's going to, because of the Packers' thin wide receiver depth, I think he's going to, if you could still draft him as a running back in fantasy leagues, depending on the league, I know that was an issue. Is he considered a running back? Can you put him in a running back position or wide receiver position? I think he's going to have a lot more opportunities, pass catching opportunities out of the backfield. I also think he's going to have the opportunity to win back his job. I think going into camp, it's going to be an open competition between Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Montgomery. Of course, you mentioned Jones is suspended for those first two games, so that hurts him. But Williams is a tough runner. He's going to barrel through defenses, and I don't think he could go an entire game. Montgomery will change the pace. He's also very aggressive, very physical, but he's got the hands, and that'll definitely help in a PPR league. So I think Ty Montgomery really has the most value overall. And he may not be the purest runner out of that group, but he may be able to, you know, sprinkle in 60 to 70 yards on the ground with 6 or 7 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, so if you had to rank the three according to the number of touches, I don't want to do carries because Montgomery, I think, could catch way more passes than either of the other two. I could see him being at 50 catches by the end of the year. So if you had to rank the number of touches, you think Montgomery's still in first, then Williams, then Jones?
Yeah, I would say Montgomery, Jones, and Williams. The only reason why I'm not talking about Jones as much is, of course, he's going to be out for those first two games. I think Jones is speed and elusiveness and natural running ability definitely puts him ahead, but I think it's going to be running back by committee there, and Mike McCarthy is going to go with the hot hand.
All right, so Joe, then let me ask you about a Packer that I've targeted in an insane amount of drafts where I had to stop drafting him because I had him in too many spots. It's Jimmy Graham. I really think that he could have an incredible season to the point where I thought he could be one of the guys. He might be the touchdown leader at season's end. I really do think that. Some people, though, counter with Rodgers doesn't typically use the tight end in that way. What is your outlook for Jimmy Graham and how he's going to help this team?
Well, I think the Packers are hoping that the third time's the charm when it comes to veteran tight ends. They've obviously have had trouble trying to replace JerMichael Finley, and you saw how explosive that offense once was when, you know, a prime JerMichael Finley was there, how he stretched the field, and how Rodgers used him a ton. You know, the last three, they brought in Jared Cook. He was okay. He produced in the playoffs. But overall, nothing special. Obviously, the disaster that was Martellus Bennett, which had higher expectations, and that did not pan out. And now Jimmy Graham, who, you know, he's coming off a season where he did score 10 touchdowns, but he only had 57 receptions, 520 yards. He's 31. He's going to be 32 later in November. He has the potential, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers there. Of course, though, at that age, he's got a lot of wear and tear in his body. I think he's going to be very, very effective, and I could see him creeping towards that double-digit touchdown, finishing up with double-digit touchdowns because of his red zone ability. I think he's going to be the guy that Rodgers is really going to go and look to when they're 20 yards or so within the end zone. He'll use Jimmy Graham somewhat more of a decoy, in my opinion, when they're further back on the field to open up other opportunities for the rest of the wide receivers. But in the red zone, he's going to be a monster.
So defensively, I think it's pretty obvious based on their drafting strategy what needed help. They got Jaire Alexander at the end of round one and Josh Jackson in round two. Two very well-respected corners. Josh Jackson, for some people, even had a first-round grade. So they were pretty brutal the last couple of seasons in defending against the pass. Last year, the defense, I think probably in part due to the fact that Rodgers wasn't moving the ball down the field for them, they really struggled. They gave up the most points per drive in the entire league and had bad starting field position very often. So special teams ties into that too. So give me a sense. It's going to be tough to have two rookie corners in that rotation, but these are two talented guys, so they're going to have to take this pass defense to another level.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be a learning curve. They're not going to go on the field and it's going to be, you know, amazing right away. It's going to take some time because even behind them or with them, excuse me, I mean, the rest of the core is pretty young, but they draft Alexander, who's a physical corner, and he'll bring some attitude to this defense, which they really haven't had a guy that'll get in your face at the corner position. So that'll be a great addition. And Josh Jackson was a ball hawk. I mean, he led the nation in interceptions with Iowa. Now, there's concerns with both of them, obviously. Alexander with his injury history, and also Jackson with the fact that he's only done it once. So can he do it again and consistently at the next level? But I think the overall problem, and it was easy to point out based on how they struggled defending the pass and giving up points. But I think the overall problem was the pass rush and the lack of pass rush. I mean, this was the first time I believe they finished out of the top 10 in sacks since 2011. So, you know, if you give a quarterback time, I mean, this is the NFL we're talking about. A wide receiver will eventually break around and get open. So the longer they have back there, someone's going to get open. So I think that was a huge issue, was not being able to get enough pressure on the quarterback, which, you know, allowed somebody to sit back, whoever that quarterback may be, and find someone. I think bringing in Mike Pettine, new defense, new attitude, the addition of Wilkerson, they're not going to be great, but they're going to be good. They're going to be better than what they were.
Let me
to
ask
Joe's
you
point again, go on, one, go real quick to just to Joe's point about the youth in the defensive backfield. Four of the top six players in this defensive backfield were drafted either this year or last year. That's Josh Jones, Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, and Josh Jackson. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I wanted to just ask you then, you mentioned Muhammad Wilkerson, who I do think is a big addition for this team. It's not that long ago, 2015, 12 and a half sacks. He is only 28. There's a lot of talent here. He's in a new situation. What is your outlook for Muhammad Wilkerson? Because I think that he could be awesome for Green Bay.
I think this was Green Bay's best signing this offseason. Mm. I think it was a no-brainer with the 1 year. It was a prove-it deal. Muhammad Wilkerson was essentially run out of New York. I think we could all agree with that. Yeah. He needed to leave that situation. He needed to leave the distractions that were in the area. He's not going to have that in Green Bay. And he's reunited with his former defensive coordinator where he excelled. So here he is on a 1 year contract. Like you mentioned, Kevin, 28 years old. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He has a great shot of doing that with Green Bay. And even if they don't win a Super Bowl, he wants to continue to play football. And this is an opportunity here where if he could, you know, get 7 or 8 sacks, maybe even double digit sacks, where he's going to be able to get paid one last time. And I think that's the goal. I think he's really playing with a chip on his shoulder, and you're going to see that all year.
So selfishly, I have Kenny Clark in an individual defensive player dynasty league. Is Kenny Clark going to make any kind of a leap this year? Obviously, Mike Daniels there. He's kind of the guy that is the most popular of the group, and Muhammad Wilkerson we just spoke about. So can Kenny Clark make any noise this season?
I think with Mike Daniels and Muhammad Wilkerson, that only opens things up for Kenny Clark, who we've seen since he got drafted slowly but surely progress. You saw a lot of great things out of him last season. So I think with the addition of Wilkerson, I mean, Mike Daniels is Mike Daniels. I think it'll definitely open things up for Clark, and you could see him having an even better season than he did last year.
Yeah, I think you need those offensive tackles to stay healthy too. Bakhtiari and Bulaga are going to be really important for Rodgers, obviously based on his health and their health all in one. I think this offensive line is going to be a huge key for them to bust open this running game and keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you say that about any offensive line. If you have no protection and your quarterback's constantly getting knocked around, you're never going to win. I mean, granted, you know, we've watched Rodgers quick release and get the ball out of his hands, make something out of nothing, escape the pocket, but it gets difficult. Rodgers is only getting older. He's coming off another big injury. He says he's changing his diet. He wants to try and be a play till into his 40s, but he can't continue to sustain the hits or run around like he has. So that's going to be key. They're going to need to keep him healthy. And if not, I mean, we saw what just happened last season when the Packers had to rely on the backup.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Good stuff. We'll make sure that we put that interview out. It's Joe DeLuise from Fanside at Lombardi Ad. We'll be back.